Okay, it's called The Gift. For months, he has been reinventing the room, the burnished oils, the pipe bowl of dark pot, the infinity quilt, her two birthday presents, silk-wrapped and staged next to the port on the antique table. He's impassioned. Long ago, after a weekend gridded with slant jibes and too much silence in the car, when the snare of doubt caught her breath like a mute future, they pulled hard off the road for dinner and a cheap room. That night, wordless in the stale dark, without a kiss, they let memory roll its hands over their bodies. The day's pain fell behind their gathering breath. A new heat pushed her legs to the bed's reach, and he followed its path down and down to its source. He couldn't know that in a few moments his life would change forever, the room transformed, another world. And now, in preparation for her 40th birthday, even as he tastes the last signals of her readiness, he tries to lead her into the same lengthening secret of that night. His thumbs work deep ovals into the raised strands of her thighs. She is about to come, and he pauses, breathes lightly out over her stomach, which begins to lower, her back settling from its arch. His own desire was to know her rising, as she had years ago, into the motel air, and then stayed and stayed there as he kept giving the lubricious gift to her. How way off, beyond her stomach and breasts, her call began. No, not a call, but a high, thin weeping, which over that longest time lowered into a sad, sung cadence of ecstatic breathing, and continued, her arms limp, her palms turned up and lax, her face leaned aside, a tear trace streaming to the pillow, and still he tendered the same slow, tidal pace, the room atomized around them, her new life pouring on and on into him. And so, finally, here in this long-reserved, perfected room, he bends down to her again, and she lifts into the altitudes of the rural afternoon light, a percussive tremor pressing out the windows, and soon another, and quick again, until laughing and able to bear no more, she pulls him up into her. Her fingers spread in his hair and stares into his eyes as her breath returns. At first, he swims in a slight sadness, past the room's failed inventions, until he closes his eyes to take the light coming up from below. He knows he should be grateful there without the old catalyzing pain. And he recalls the fifth or eighth minute of her song in that worn room when, apart and untouched, he came in a sudden single wave as indeliberate as her weeping. Now he hears his name breathing in her voice like a gift, and quietly he lets go.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
Beautiful poem. I love the room atomized around them. I love that sort of attention to that sort of detail in this poem and others. Can you talk a little bit? This poem to me and many others, it's very intimate. It seems to be inclined almost, I wouldn't quite say this, but almost toward a confessional mode. Mm-hmm. But it's also, it's interested in story and a narrative. It also has what we were talking about before, that interest in the intellect and meditation. Can you talk a little bit about your reading and your influences as a poet over the years?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting, let me start with this poem and
okay.
then we'll go.
There
is a poem by Robert Haas, which I'm sure you guys know, called Privilege of Being. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful, exquisite poem. And I'd read the poem and knew it well. And in that poem, there's a couple, and They have sex, and the angels, these slightly Rilkean kind of angels, are watching them. At any rate, I was talking to the poet Dorian Lox, and she's good friends with the other poet, with another poet, Kim Adnesio, both of them terrific writers, in fact, both published by BOA in this area. And they had read that poem, and they'd been talking to Haas, and he has that one line, which is kind of a prosaic line. It's not a very good line. It's, she's about to come, mm-hmm. right? And so they challenged each other to writing a poem with that line. And then Dorian said, why don't you? And I was heading off to a little town that I sometimes go to write in. There's a cabin there in Bolinas, California, which is right out on the water of the Pacific. And I think the Haas poem was the starting place for that. Mm-hmm. Right? But like the Haas poem, I don't think it's quite confessional. You know, for me, a confessional poem is written in the first person, and it usually is establishing something embarrassing or humiliating mm-hmm. about that first-person character, and we're supposed to understand that this is a universal, that we're all normal in this, you know, uncomfortable way. Because this poem's not in the first person, it's not quite that confessional, as you said, not quite. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of the kind of thing that I like that Haas did, which was to uncover an intimate moment that is not often written about. In this case, not just marital sex, but oral sex, and to show us something that we're not likely to see. Of course, I guess in all our poems, that's what we want to do, show us something that we're not likely to see.
Right.
To go to the larger question you ask, you know, I think you're asking about my reading and who I have been. Is it fair to say who I've been?
Influences. I mean, just, yeah. You know, as you, when you think back to your first readings of poets, in your youth, I mean, who were they, and sort of, do you see them shaping your career?
There's two different stages to that. The first influence is, I mean, I was handed a book by a good friend of the family. It was Robert Frost's selected poems, the Untermeyer book, mm-hmm. with the, you know, funny little drawings and things in it, and I read the whole thing and loved it, mm-hmm. and in fact typed up lines from Frost and taped them up in the house, especially in the dining room, which my mother barely put up with. And then I loved, you know, the same guy gave me Dylan Thomas, he gave me Auden. Finally, I went off to college, and in my freshman year, I heard a professor read out loud the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock. Mm-hmm. And I said, that